serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country, with 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Our guest today is Frank Costa, 99 years old, originally from Geneva, New York, where his Italian immigrant father sat his 3 boys down after America was drawn into World War II and made it very clear where their allegiance was to be. All 3 Costa boys would serve in the U.S. Armed Forces during World War II. All 3 of them came home. And Frank says the memories he's sharing today were completely buried for the last 7 decades. We've heard about his close calls on Angar Island, his first action in the Pacific with the 81st Infantry Division. Most of us will never experience anything like it. And I think it helps the rest of us really digest it when we realize how powerful the emotions can be all these years later. So I'm really grateful for Frank's transparency and candor today.
I don't want to skip over anything. You told us a couple of the close calls early on in your time in the service. Are there some other things that you still remember where it could have been you and almost was you?
Well, I guess it was. I don't think one was any more than the other, because your main thing was to see that you stayed alive.
I just wondered if there are any other examples you wanted to share that your family may or may not have heard that might leave an impression on them to know what Dad and Grandpa and Great-Grandpa has been through.
Yeah, nobody knows what I went through. This is the first time I've ever talked about it. When I left Geneva, I left all my war stories back there. I didn't say nothing. My brother didn't even know what grade I was when I left the service. Mm. He just knew I was in the Army.
And here we talked about your 2 brothers. Your older brother was involved in Normandy and the Bulge, all the big stuff in Europe. Your younger brother's in the Navy. So you all 3 had these experiences. You all 3 come home. The 3 of you never traded stories.
Nope.
Not at all.
My brother John would not say boo. My sister says, you mentioned the war, and my brother would blow his top. Mm. Don't talk about the war to me. He went through hell. He went through more than my other brother and I put together.
And you know that just from knowing the outfit he was in and the battles he went through.
He was in the 4th Army.
Not because he actually told you any stories.
He didn't say anything. They sent a telegram to my mother. He was missing in action. Next day says, mistaken identity. Next day, killed in action. Next day, mistaken identity.
Wow.
3 telegrams. What do you think the mothers are going through?
Yeah, seriously. Well, speaking of, what was it like to come home and see your mom and dad and sister again?
I walked out of Fort Dix with my duffel bag, got on a bus, arrived home, walked home. That was it. I didn't know fanfare.
Just something tells me your mom gave you a little hug when you showed up. There's a question for you, Frank. I married an Italian girl whose grandma was quite a cook, and I know how that gets passed down, those family recipes. All that time in the Pacific where you're eating out of a can or out of the jungle, did you ever think about a home-cooked meal from Mama?
More than once. I've said more today than I've said in 70 years.
Wow. Well, it's a privilege to be here and listen to a little bit of it. After you had that reunion with your family in upstate New York, you, as you told us, you put the war behind. You headed to California because you had to go see that girl that you had worked so hard to meet at the dance in Marysville. Did Lena know you were coming?
Yeah, I called her.
How long did you wait before you put that ring on her finger?
I got there in May and married in August.
She didn't make you work too hard? She didn't say no?
No, she didn't hesitate.
You know, I know this isn't easy to talk to you, and I appreciate you and your candor in telling me when it's stuff that's too difficult for you to go there. But have you ever had the thought, as you approach your 100th birthday, that if that bomb that killed the guy next to you and wounded the other guy next to you, if that would have gotten you, some of those other close calls you described, if you had still been in the tank 5 minutes later when it got hit, that if you didn't survive all that, you never would have made it back to marry Lena, that your sons and your grandsons and your great-grandsons would have never been born?
That's right. I never thought of that.
How do you make sense of that?
I was a positive person. I always look on the positive side.
And you told us you put the war away. So it was never something you and Lena talked about, never something you talked about with your sons. But now, here just recently, you go to Washington, D.C. with Honor Flight Southern Nevada. You get to see that World War II memorial that honors all 16 million of you, including the three Costa boys who served our country, but specifically those 406,000 Americans who didn't come home. What did you think about while you were at that memorial?
Thank God it's over with.
Were there any surprises for you on that trip?
Yes. Getting the honor of putting the wreath on the unknown soldier's tomb. I had no idea I was going to be asked.
When did they ask you?
The night before.
Uh-huh.
He says to Frank, he says, you got the honor of putting the wreath in the grave. I said, I can't do that. I can't walk up there. And he says, don't worry. He says, it's all taken care of. We got somebody to push you up. And so lucky, one of the veterans of my roommate had fought in Okinawa. He was my pusher. And then there was a nurse, I think 40 years in the service. She also came up. That's when everything opened up again.
Well, yeah, so I want our listeners to hear this. You've shared with me this story. I think they'll be touched by it, too. So when you get there to Arlington National Cemetery and you make your way to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you're watching that incredible display of precision of that guard detail and that eternal patrol that happens there in front of it. And it wasn't raining when you got there, right?
Well, it had been raining.
But it stopped.
It stopped.
So tell everybody what happened.
When we got up there, they gave us ponchos, raincoats, and everything, and said it might be raining a little bit. So just as we got there, it seemed like it stopped completely. They put us on the end of the runway, and when they gave us the signal to go, we started going, started sprinkling a little bit. We walked up so many paces, turned right to go to the tomb, and a little more rain. We got up, pushed the wreath to the guard. The guard picked it up on the rack. Just as he puts it on the rack, cloud opened. All the rain came down. It was a thunderstorm-like. And we moved back, and just then one of the guys that's pushing me says, God is crying. And that's when I broke it. So we moved back a little bit, and then they start playing taps. And while they're playing taps, it started to get harder and harder. And so I'm facing the tomb, and the bugler between me and the tomb of the unknown soldier. And all I can think of, that guy is right. He's crying.
What's the most meaningful thing that you got out of that honor flight experience?
How lucky I was, I guess. I was really happy that I think every veteran should get the goal. Every one of them should see this.
You told us how many letters you got from Lena and from your family in upstate New York while you were overseas. Did you get any mail on that?
I had a laugh on that one. They said the mail call. I said, who's going to write me a mail call? So they get up on the bus, and they start calling these different names out. Everybody had maybe two or three little envelopes. Then they come to my name. I come out two or three inches thick. I said, I thought it was a joke. And so I picked it up and thanked them for it, and I started opening. I found a package of powdered egg. I found a fork and spoon. So Terry came up to me, and she says, I got a story to tell you about that. I said, what happened? She says, whoever it was sent you this package. When he got to the security, they took the can of Spam and a can of beans and the knife and the pick out of your package.
They were trying to really give you a taste of 1945 again.
Right.
But TSA got the better of that ration package.
They got the beans and the Spam. So Larry's got all the letters, and they wanted to read them. I was never so surprised in my life. Mail call. I guess that's a highlight of the trip.
Well, what I hear a lot from veterans, well, there's a few things. Sometimes if they have a police escort in Washington, they really love that.
Yeah, they did. That was good.
Makes you feel like a king, right? They tell me about the mail call and then the reception when they land back at the airport. And a lot of them say they didn't think anybody cared, and now they realize people do. And it sounds like for you, maybe it's more than realizing that other people value what you did, but maybe being reminded yourself what you went through and how significant it was? Because this something is really something you haven't thought about for a long time.
No, I never thought about it.
So what are you most proud of now at 99 years old?
I guess listening to my dad.
When he told you you're an American.
I think that was it.
Well, if there's anything else that you want to share, I want you to have that opportunity, but I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for taking us places that we couldn't go without you.
Yeah, all I can say is you're welcome, but I just still can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it'd be this hard.
Well, I know it took courage to go, and it took courage to keep going, and I appreciate the courage that you've shown in going back there and talking about it as much as you have. I have one last question for you. You're almost 100 years old. As you said, you're probably the last guy from your company. There aren't a whole lot of World War II veterans in general left, and most of us alive today didn't live through that time. So when you think about your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, what do all of us need to know about you and those 16 million Americans in uniform in World War II?
I don't know how to answer that.
Do you feel like you accomplished something significant?
Yes, I think I did. I didn't realize it at the time. I've gone through life without thinking about the war period. I've gone through 75 years after the war, and then all of a sudden I'm talking about the war. I thought it was going to be easy. I didn't realize that things would pop up like that.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a day where you're sitting with your kids and it's a little easier to talk about.
No, from now on, I'll probably be talking about some. They'll be asking questions.
Good. Gives them some perspective. You know, the rest of us have never been through anything like what you went through. We don't even understand.
All I got to be is thankful I'm alive.
Has your little brother been on an honor flight yet?
No, my older brother was.
He was before he passed?
John.
Sam's the other one?
Sam hasn't made it yet.
Where's Sam live?
In Geneva.
Well, he's only 97, so if a 99-year-old can do it, I know he can too. And we'll make sure to connect him with the volunteers who are putting together honor flights from Rochester and Syracuse, since Geneva and those beautiful Finger Lakes are kind of right between the two. Wherever you're listening today, there's most likely an Honor Flight hub near you. You can find a listing and a map of them at honorflight.org. And remember, there's absolutely no cost to the veteran for this trip to Washington, D.C. and so many monuments and destinations, like Arlington National Cemetery, where Frank was able to lay that wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But the impetus, of course, is getting World War II veterans to the National World War II Memorial. It wasn't completed until 2004. Thanks to $190 million of private donations, mostly from World War II veterans themselves. And most of them never got to see it. Most World War II veterans were long gone by the time it was finished, and those who remain often have a difficult time getting there on their own. But the Honor Flight Network makes it possible, as Honor Flight Southern Nevada did for Frank. Anything else you want to say about that, Frank?
I wish everybody had a chance to see it, all the veterans. It's an eye-opener. The reception at that airport, though, that was out of this world. How did they know anything about me, and all of a sudden they know all about me? Didn't even know who I was, and they were cheering for me.
Makes you feel like you're somebody, doesn't it?
Yeah. How do they know that about me?
Well, they know a whole lot more about you now, and hopefully those conversations will continue with your family so they can learn even more about what you did and what you had to endure during World War II. That is Frank Costa, 99 years old, of Las Vegas, Nevada. You'll find some photos from his trip to Washington, D.C. at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. You'll also find a link to the Honor Flight Network so you can look into signing up the veteran in your life. And don't forget about that War Department film of the 81st Infantry Division on Angar Island. Really is a time machine. It'll take you right there. Frank's first action back in 1944. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us today here on Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.